everybody. We hope everyone is doing well. You are in tune for a bonus special guest for Black History Month. Things have been going very well, been very received, so we appreciate all your support. Today's special guest is definitely special for what you guys might expect. Esports is a growing industry, and it is vast across the world. So I want to introduce our guest, Gabriel, from Ghana. Gabriel, why don't you share the people with who you are and tell them a little about yourself?
Yeah. Hi, everyone. My name is Gabriel Achu Sikanku. I'm the co-founder of Esports Africa News and Esports Africa Tournament. I'm also an executive with the Ghana Esports Association. And I'm also a partner with Geeks Game City. I also operate in England as EDS Humber. So I've got my finger in a few polls. I'm the co-founder of Tema Esports Club and Team Falcon. So, yeah, got my fingers in a few esports pies there.
You definitely do. And, you know, if you guys have not heard it, hit rewind, because he is definitely making some moves, doing a lot of things in the industry abroad. And, you know, I think that's really amazing. So, you know, kind of getting into everything with your professional journey into esports, is there any individuals or role models that kind of influenced you in your esports journey to kind of get you to where you are today?
I mean, I'd say self-motivated, but obviously I do see what people are doing in and around Africa, but also in Europe, because Esports Africa News sprang from the fact that somebody in Europe wasn't interested in promoting African content. And that's the reason why we started Esports Africa News. And it's been a big hit. We've been the main media organization promoting everything esports from Africa or involving Africans in the diaspora.
Got it. Now, that's awesome, man. You know, it's crazy how like a little interest can go a long way in developing something, you know, as great as what you guys have going on over there. Now, in terms of your role specifically, if there was something you could break down, I know you have your hands in a lot of different baskets, but for those who are listening in and they might want to work with you or find a little bit more about what you do or even try to do it themselves, how would you describe that role?
Right. So as the international coordinator for all these organizations, I look to promote everything African from the diaspora. So, for example, with the Esports Africa News, we tend to spotlight and talk about the Africans in the diaspora. So if they've got their own content, they've got their own writer, whatever they're doing, they need spotlight. And all we ask is the email us at info@esportsafricanews.com, and then we can review and create content around them and spotlight them. In terms of tournaments, we try to partner with organizations. I think at the moment we're running a Minecraft tournament. We've done the Chess Dance tournament, and I've done the CSGO tournament. As an executive of Esports Association Ghana, I do try to connect the national organization with other organizations as well. In terms of team sports, we run international tournaments. We have our guy is particularly good at e-football, so we have international e-football tournaments amongst, you know, different countries and different athletes. So for me, there is a spectrum of activities that Africans in the diaspora can get involved in. The thing about Esports Africa News is we've got a contact in every African country, because we do reports about every African country. So it's not just about wanting to be part of Nigeria or Ghana or Kenya, but you can go to specific people. For example, there might be Mozambicans in America or wherever in the world, or there might be Tanzanians around the world who are listening to us. Specifically, we've got contact in these countries that if you're not sure if esports is happening in the country, we can link them up to the esports organizations in the country and they can work with them. It's always great to see people want to give back or want to connect to their homeland.
Absolutely. And that kind of brings it into, because, you know, here we're celebrating, you know, Black History Month and, you know, African Americans and definitely, you know, those that come from the diaspora. How significant would you say or important the representation is of Black individuals, those both in America and the diaspora, is in the esports gaming industry?
I mean, representation is absolutely necessary. I mean, I've got a 14-year-old son, and he does talk about representation, because when he sees other people doing the things that, you know, things that other everyone else is doing, and they're like him, he kind of gets it more, and he feels he can do it, rather than when, you know, you just tell him to do something, it's a bit awkward for him. But yeah, representation is very important. And the thing about Black History Month, because we celebrate, if I say we, in England, we celebrate it in October, but in America, there are two different contexts here. With America, there are more Black Americans than in England. Mm-hmm. So the way Americans will probably see Black History Month slightly will be different. We'll be looking at it from the Martin Luther King angle. But the reason why I contacted you directly was, you cannot just look at Black History Month and talk about America, because mm-hmm. the of every Black history is from the context. That is, there's no doubt about that, and there's no argument about that, because right. produced the Black history that we're talking about. So therefore, I think it was appropriate that in celebration Black History Month, we should be connecting with the mainland continent, Africa, and making that connection. You know, the people out there who are, you know, CSGO players, PUBG players, can we have an exchange tournament? Can we have some engagement, you know, that gives us that kind of connection back? But if you're celebrating just a minute part of the context of Black history, which is freedom fighters, I think it's a bit narrow-minded, because there are more reasons to celebrate or to sort of connect Black History Month with the continent than just the freedom fighters.
No, and I, you know, I appreciate you for reaching out, because I had the same thought in mind that, you know, it transcends, you know, just Black History Month, but it should encompass all of us, and it should encompass the diaspora in general, because esports is global. And, you know, the time we start to be exposed to all opportunities, both home and abroad, I think we can finally start to see some more unity, some more representation within the realm of esports. So, you know, I'm glad you reached out, and I'm definitely glad that we have the opportunity to even be having this discussion, you know, right here on this platform, and being exposing it to both our communities in terms of the esports yeah. world. So I do appreciate that, you know, very much so. And it was very well said and stated by yourself. As we know, you know, when it comes to esports, there could be some challenges that we might have experienced. Could you speak on any challenges that you faced in regards to the esports industry?
Yeah, I mean, in general, the esports industry is it's a dynamic industry, in the sense that the games, the consoles that come out are expensive. Mm-hmm. To have a proper setup PC is expensive.
Mm-hmm.
However, it's a lot more manageable in the West, or, you know, not manageable in the West as compared to Africa.
Right.
Every year we have new games. I kind of find it not sustainable, because you've got FC 24, FC 23, you know, FIFA 23, 20. Every year that's a new game. It's not sustainable, in my opinion, because we seem to be running through things faster. Look, mm-hmm. in Africa, there are more PS3s and PS4s than PS5s. However,
right.
because we've got to be in line with the international community trying to compete in tournaments, we're being, one, alienated, because not many people will have access to Tekken 8 to compete in EVO.
Mm.
However, talking PS3, PS4 tournaments, you get masses, get more people playing that tournament within those console reach, what do you call it, categories than anything. However, right. we are being alienated by the fact that we're trying to meet the modern trends.
Mm.
So some of these,
yes. It's a very you know, interesting point, and you know, a challenge that, you know, that they're faced, where the differences in it. However, as you were mentioning, I think that you know, if we understand the issues that are faced, then collectively maybe we can kind of come up with a solution, because at the end of the day, the gamers are the ones who play the games. And if Tekken, you know, 2200 comes out, right, but everybody is still, you know, the heart of the game is still played by the masses, whether it's an older version, you know, I think that bringing that to awareness could help to provide more stability in terms of like, hey, let's support the games that have the most amount of players in it to create the best experience overall, because newer isn't necessarily always better. But if we can kind of realize that and say, hey, this is moving faster than we can keep up, let's slow down, let's execute or play the games that we can compete on, and eventually we'll catch up to those changing trends. But, you know, like I said, it's definitely a very interesting perspective. And I hope as our viewers listen to this, they acknowledge that, and, you know, collectively we figure out what could be some solutions that can be done, you know, to help support what you have going on over there, but also help support the overall growing esports industry as a whole. So thank you for sharing that.
See, Africa has the youngest population, right?
Mm-hmm.
At the moment, we I think more than 30% are under 25. I need to correct myself with the statistics. But basically, Africa has got the youngest population. So if you can imagine, mm-hmm. economically, right, it's true for Asia. They play the modern games. But if you truly want numbers, the middle class, the growing middle class, to be attracted to your product, to be attracted to your service, the tournaments should be in the second tier console category.
Mm.
Threes and fours. You get more people playing those kind of events and engaging better than the fives. Again, mobile gaming is the thing in Africa because internet penetration is bigger on mobiles, right? Then we go to the internet providers. We're being, you know, because of monopoly, you know, they're not providing the right service, but we're also paying much. But services like Starlink, the mobile internet service providers, then that becomes a different category of, I mean, a different perspective of providing services. And that is what is going to help us become more, you know, conversant or abridged with the rest of the world. So there are a few challenges. It's not like it's not happening, but this, mm-hmm. the guys are still participating in tournaments. But this would have it opened up the floodgates for more people to be involved in esports. At the moment, we're running a Minecraft challenge, right? And most schools don't even have access to the basic Minecraft. So speaking to the guys, it was organized in partnership with an organization from South Africa. And I was saying to them, it would have been a lot better if schools had basic access
right.
to Microsoft 360 or, you know, you have the basic access, then you can the add-ons can be applied. So people can select the add-ons and apply. If we have got the basic access, the Minecraft education would have been easier. More people would participate in the competition. But that's where
agreed. And listen, like I said, definitely a very interesting challenge. From what I've been noticing in the industry, just as a shift, is that some of the games or some of the big manufacturers are starting. I believe Tencent is definitely one of them. They are moving more toward the mobile gameplay. And as that continues to grow, do you think that would also help your efforts and what you have going on over there?
All right. If mobile games grow, you know how Mario, I was watching this other documentary, the games that the toys that change America, you know,
yes.
The way grew, if a game is developed on mobile, similar to how Mario was developed, the mascot game, Africa will jump on it and they'll have the youngest population playing for quite a while. And I think Candy Crush
yes.
took off to some extent, but it slowed down now. But Candy Crush did get, you know, get people playing. Even mothers, grandmothers played it because it was easy and people could understand that. It could understand the game easily, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. I used to play Candy Crush a lot of times. My mother actually got me into Candy Crush. You know, she we'd be competing against each other, and I'm like, man, she's good at this game. So it's funny that you mentioned that. How long have you actually been involved in the esports or gaming arena? And you know, with that, do you have any achievements that you feel you've done that you'd like to showcase or share with everybody who's listening in?
I've been directly involved since 2018, so not long enough. But the guy from Tema Esports Club just last year represented Ghana in the Afro Arab League in Riyadh, and he also represented Ghana at the IESF in Romania. He's has been to Ivory Coast to represent Ghana. So in terms of team sports,
Yes.
we've had a successful team.
So that's pretty talented right there, you know, to do that. Again, a lot of the players in the States over here, some do travel, majority of them maybe not on a global level. So I think you know, shout outs to you guys for being able to do that. You know, I definitely think that's amazing in that regard.
Thank you.
No, you're very welcome. Would you say, or what would you probably say is your greatest source of inspiration for you to continue to do what you're doing in the gaming slash esports industry?
Promoting African esports.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, talking about Africa and in connection with esports, and that's what motivates me most, especially living in England. The question I keep asking, or in order to break the ice, is, do you know about esports in Africa? And they go like, no. Then that gives me the opportunity to tell them about esports in Africa, what we're doing, what we've done, and what we're hoping to do. You know, one of the things that we're hoping to do is every year, loads of Americans in December come to Ghana. I don't know if you heard about Dirty December.
No, I'm not familiar with that. Feel free to share with
You
us.
just Google that, right? So basically, Ghana, Accra has become the entertainment hub. Most diasporas travel to Ghana in December to have good time.
Wow.
The
Okay.
raves and so many music events, you know, legends, celebrities, they all troop to Ghana for Christmas. But thing is, we need to organize an esports festival around that time. We need a
Okay, okay.
version of that. We need a Super Bowl version of that, because they're in town anyway, right? They are going to be in town anyway. Why don't we set up a celebrity tournament? So why don't we set up, you know, what do you call it? American football travels to England. You know, every year 12 of your games are played in England, in London. Why don't we get continental tournaments in Africa? Why Black History Month? Why don't we say our contribution is going to be going to Ghana to play in tournaments around cities to highlight esports, you know, to promote esports or partner with esports teams in Africa.
Hey, listen, you know, I love the idea, and for everybody listening, you're hearing it first. And if this is something that interests you, then you know, there's nothing for us to do but start to have the conversation and figure
Absolutely.
out how we can do it. You know, we got until now, until December. So, you know, my personal belief is everything is about talking about it, planning it, and you know, trying it. If we do it this year, great. If we don't, at least we got the ball moving forward. So. For everyone again listening, take heed to what you're hearing because it's something that can be done and we can start to build toward that. So, you know, thank you for sharing that and even informing me about what goes on in December because I wasn't aware. But I think that the way esports is growing and continuing to grow, that is something, even on a small scale, could be obtainable in some regard and we could always build from there.
Absolutely, absolutely. We don't need, you know, in terms of that particular project, we don't need large numbers. 10, 15, 20, and it could be 5, 3 from each country or each country, and it's just meeting up in Accra for a 1 week tour or 14 days esports tour. And basically, we're going to play various genres of tournaments across the country or selected areas highlighting esports. We're going to have a grand one in Accra where most tourists stay. And then it becomes the Super Bowl of esports in Africa every December. Simple.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. So as we continue, you know, through our conversation, we're going over a lot of different parts of it. Yeah. For somebody who's listening in, or an individual who wants to get into this industry, what advice might you be able to provide them with? Because we, you know, we did speak about some of the issues, you know, that they may face. But what could be advice that you could possibly give them, whether they're abroad or they're in the States, just from your own personal experience?
I think people focus too much on the gameplay. There's more to it than just gameplay. There's a whole spectrum of services, a whole spectrum of professions within it. Example, on media, Esports Africa News. Even with media, there's a spectrum of professions. Graphic designer, video editor, commentator, you know, writers and all that kind of stuff. So people shouldn't think to be in the esports industry only necessarily means you carry a gamepad or you can play it with your PC. No, you can do more than that. And the tournament organizers. So the first thing is, what is their interest? It's great to play the game. We all played. But what is your interest? Do you want to talk like me? Have you got a knack for photography, videography, video editing? Get involved in a local team, a local organization, and build up your skill from there. And I'm sure you'll find your way through the ecospace.
That's great. You know, that message you just shared is one that is not often echoed often enough in terms of when people hear esports, the immediate thing is games or prize pool money or competition. But you did an excellent job of really articulating the fact that there is so much more. And the premise of it, the root of it, is that it starts with what they like to do that they're interested in, and then build from that and find that in gaming. So very well said, because it's not said enough. I personally believe that.
Thank you.
Yes, yes. So now, when we think about the community of gamers, how important, I know we kind of touched on it, if we had to give it from a scale from 1 to 10, how important is it for the community, the Black community, the diaspora, to stick together and support each other in this gaming and esports world?
Well, 10 is very important, isn't it?
Okay.
Yeah, I'd say 11. I'm important, because I take you back. You might not know this, but the community in Africa, we've grown as communities. Traditionally, the way we live our lives are based on either from the family unit to the clan unit to the kinsmanship unit to the town unit. You know, we're always a group of people, a group of interconnected people. Do you know what I mean? So the community is us, and it's absolutely important that we live our community like we live ourselves, our own lives, because in the community are, you know, the gamers, the photographers, the editors, the support, the, you know, game enthusiasts. We need the whole community to do it. You know, so absolutely important for me is that we work within ourselves to be able to develop ourselves and to build our own structures. And let's keep the chain going, because as we grow older, we fall off the cliff. But if we don't train or get the younger ones interested, at some point there'll be a cliff edge where there's no sustainable energy from the Black community.
Agreed. Agreed. You know, and the irony of that is, when you think of the gaming in general, it is always referred to, or often referred to, as the gaming community, you know, the FGC, the fighting game community, right? Yeah. So even embedded in just general terminology that is used across the globe, it's community. But as we speak, you know, African-Americans or, you know, Africans in the diaspora, you know, it's, we don't see, like, this is a community effort. And the games are based off of community play from, you know, the multiplayer games that we all, you know, play in, or the competitive games, the team games. it's very much a community. So when I asked about the 10 to 10, 0 to 10 or 1 to 10, 11 is spot on, because it is so important that we're missing that simple oversight that the very industry that we are all learning about and growing in is based simply on community. So I love that. If there was any changes, and we kind of hit on this, and I'm pretty sure it's going to be community, but I'm going to ask it anyway. If there was any changes or improvements that you could see that could be made, let's just say, not something far off, but for somebody listening to this right now, is there anything that could be done to help the future of esports for the diaspora, if they could do it today?
So, out here, and I think one comes straight to mind, there's a game called Sweep, right? From Leti, a Ghanaian. So Leti Art is a Ghanaian. He's actually my uni mate, and he's got this game called Sweep. And Sweep is a fun game. One, Afrocentric. Afrocentric icons, Afro music, right? If we all play that game, with the 30 million young folks in Africa, that game will be a lot better than Mario Brothers, than FC24, because it will be our thing.
Right.
And we can understand the icons because they tell the story of our lives and the journey we've come from and where we're going.
I love it. I definitely love it. And, you know, I'll make sure to put the link for everybody to, you know, support, to find, to follow. You know, if you're a gamer, you're a non-gamer, it doesn't help, doesn't hurt to necessarily, you know, try it out. And if you like it, you love it, you know, really, really support. And I like that that is something that is definitely actionable. All it takes is a simple click here, visit there, download, or just play. And notice that there wasn't anything was like, hey, you know, you got to do all this crazy stuff. You know, you're pretty much, it's in line with what everybody is currently doing. So thank you for sharing that one simple thing, because simplicity, even though it seems simple, can take us a long way. So I'm really going to help to promote and push and have our listeners, you know, check that out. So before we, you know, before we close this out, is there anything else that maybe I did not necessarily cover that you would like to share or promote or even inspire?
I just like to talk about collaborations, because the only way we can grow is to share knowledge and skill. So if the more people out there play various genres of esports, please engage with Esports Africa News. Let's connect you to one. It could be from your home country or where you wanted to be, you want to be connected. And it's important that you know that Africa has got 54 countries. So we do not talk about Africa as one. The context is it's a one mass continent, but there are 54 countries with 54 different cultures in there. So we can connect directly to the various countries, or we can recommend countries to get involved in. I definitely will recommend, selfishly, Ghana for December. I am actually of the mindset that we need to do that, and I'm encouraging people to reach out to me, and we just need 15 to 20 people to agree to come to Accra in December 2024. We will set up the tournament. We just need to understand which genres we want to play, and then we will work in the background to make sure this happens. And it might be the first one, so we learn how best to do it, because all these raves were not done in a day. Afro Futures, Afrochella, and all those were not done in a day. They grew from one event to the current status. So we can also start, and maybe 2027 be better, but we definitely need to start in 2024.
No, absolutely, absolutely. And I guess when you made those comments, I do have another question for you. So seeing how this is a platform and voices are meant to be heard, if there was any organization or individual that you would like to work with, collaborate with, in hopes that they may hear us talk, who might that be?
Wow. I'd say Mike, because I'm right into education. And for me, if we can get Microsoft to make access to of Microsoft, what do you call it, education to a basic level, you know, a notch up, just turn a notch up, give access to schools in Africa. We just want to do Minecraft education. That's all.
Okay. All right. So Microsoft, or anybody who works at Microsoft or knows somebody who works at Microsoft, it only takes a conversation to be had, and you're either going to get a yes or a no. So I implore all of you, if you know somebody, reach out, ask, and let's see what we can do, because we never know unless we ask. So definitely thank you, Gabriel, for sharing that ask. And, you know, we will do whatever we possibly can to help that come to fruition, because it's only an ask. So there's no harm in that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right, Gabriel. Well, it is definitely has been a pleasure to have you on to our show of, you know, celebrating Black History Month and being a bonus to talk about the diaspora and what is going on, both a global perspective of what is going on in the esports community. You know, I really do appreciate that. I look forward to the opportunity for us to conversate, you know, off of this platform, and then again see how we may be able to assist you in your endeavors and anything that may come our way. Trust and believe, we will try to make sure we can send it your way in hopes that it'll help you in your efforts over there.
Appreciate that, Dennis. Thanks for engaging, and have a good afternoon.
All right, you too. Bye-bye.